Welcome to The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. Good morning, I'm your host, Scott Harvey. This week, it's Severe Weather Awareness Week. I'll speak with Mark Fox, a warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service Office in Fort Worth.
On average, every county in your listening area is under a tornado warning about three or four times a year. So we're talking less than 2 hours a year. We're asking you to do the right thing and go to cover.
And the fading wishes of snowfall this season. Hard to believe 2 years ago this month, the region experienced a record-breaking foot or more. And oh yes, snowballs were thrown.
I got a couple of vicious hits in the face, one on the butt. I don't know, they're just coming from all over.
Those topics coming up after we check out the week's headlines. You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
You may have been thinking about corporate underwriting on KETR, but don't know how to get started. Let us make it easy for you. Call 903-513-9684. I'm Sherry Gardner. I'll be happy to explain the process step by step. If you like, I can even swing by and drop off some information for you to look at. It's that easy.
Hey, get out of the road! You get out of the road! At least my bumper's not falling off! Oh, great.
In many states, if you're a young man turning 18, you can't get a driver's license if you don't register with the Selective Service System at SSS.gov, which means if you don't register, you could be doing a whole lot of this.
Welcome back to The Lead. It's now time to check out the headlines from this week throughout Northeast Texas. The Fannin County inmate that escaped Tuesday after stealing an employee's vehicle was still at large upon last check. The 2008 gold Chevy Impala has handicapped Texas plates LP9DPKZ. 45-year-old Jimmy Lee Brock is a white male who stands 5 feet 8 inches tall, weighs approximately 160 pounds, and has several tattoos. The next hearing in the case of landowner Julie Crawford and TransCanada is Friday afternoon at the Lamar County Courthouse, and dozens of protesters are again planning to attend in support of Crawford. Roughly 100 people opposing TransCanada's Keystone XL pipeline were in attendance at last Friday's hearing. Sulphur Springs officials hope the expansion of Owens Country Sausage will help ease the pain of the upcoming loss of Morningstar Foods' cultured specialties plant. The closing, announced last week, will result in 55 jobs lost, ironically the same amount that Owens plans to hire once their expansion is completed. A timeline for that project is unclear. Fannin County authorities say that Jackie Sullivan died of natural causes and exposure to weather. The 57-year-old's body was found just west of her Bailey home Sunday morning along Highway 11. The case is still under investigation and a full autopsy remains pending. 53-year-old Margaret Lene Gunner has pleaded guilty to selling firearms without a federal firearms license. The Raines County woman faces up to 5 years in prison for assisting a co-defendant who was selling firearms at public markets in Quinlan and at the First Monday Trade Fair in Canton. Curtis Williams has pleaded guilty and been sentenced to 6 years in prison for setting fire to his Commerce jail cell upon his arrest last August. Police say Williams set fire to a Bible and toilet paper on top of his fire-retardant mattress. The jail cell suffered some smoke damage. A proposed increase in designated tuition will be the subject of three public meetings March 1st and 2nd at Texas A&M University Commerce. The range of increase being considered is $0 to $10 per semester credit hour. Two of the hearings will be at the Student Center, with another at the Metroplex Center in Mesquite. Meanwhile, another record high has been reached in enrollment at the university, this time for the spring semester. 10,965 students is a 2.94% bump in last spring's numbers and is a 22% increase since 2009. The Commerce City Council has approved a resolution supporting a draft plan by the Hunt County Transportation Committee. Greenville signed off on the project last week. Hunt County Commissioners will consider approval next month of the plan, which is to guide the region for the next few decades. For the second time in about a week, the Greenville City Council has approved a resolution by a 6-1 vote expressing their desire to settle the lawsuit between L3. Councilmember Jeff Daley voted against the resolution, as he did last week. The council has publicly taken exception to Daley's vote. All of Hunt, Red River, and Rockwall counties are among the latest entities no longer under a drought, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. The study was released Tuesday. The counties of Delta, Hopkins, Kaufman, Raines, and Van Zandt are still experiencing abnormally dry conditions. And local agencies are among the more than 250 statewide to take part in Saturday's 6th annual Great Texas Warrant Roundup. Those with outstanding warrants will be picked up at home, while they're out shopping, walking, at work, or wherever they are located. It's a check of some of the news-making headlines this week throughout our region. Coming up next, a conversation with Mark Fox, a warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service Office in Fort Worth. That's next. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
It's Friday, and start your weekend off right with me, Big Chris, the host of Up Next, the show that brings you the best and newest music from up-and-coming artists. I'm going to have four Rewind songs from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Also, I have put together a Word on Campus feature about campus life. And as usual, I will have the music that you love. You don't want to miss this.
Up next, tonight at 9, following Notably Texan on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Programming on KETR is made possible by Greenville Sleep Center. Symptoms such as headaches, daytime sleepiness, high blood pressure, and diabetes could be signs of sleep apnea. Sleep Therapy Associates specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of obstructive sleep apnea. More information at stat-management.net and 866-529-7828.
Welcome back to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR, and joining us, our good friend Mark Fox with the National Weather Service Office in Fort Worth. He is a warning coordination meteorologist there. Mark's been with us a few times on the program before, and this time around, talking about Severe Weather Awareness Week, which runs now through Saturday, February 25th. And Mark, thanks for being with us. We had a rather unusual severe weather season in 2011, to say the least. Could you put into perspective your experience with that and its significance to not only Texas, but the southern part of the United States?
Well, it's pretty darn close to historic. When I got into this business, I got very interested in it because I was fairly young, but I remember the 1974 outbreak in April incredibly well. And in fact, they call that one the super outbreak at the time and still do. And there was a lot of us in meteorology and in weather that were wondering if we were ever going to see that kind of year again. But not only did we see that type of year last year, it kind of exceeded a lot of what the historic levels were. So thankfully, none of the horrible, horrible tornadoes were in Texas last year. But for anybody that did get impacted by the tornado, I'm sure it kind of felt that way.
Yeah, you're right. Not as many devastating tornadoes in our region. Certainly a lot of severe weather. One that comes to mind, the one that tore up Tuscaloosa, Alabama, didn't that originate in Texas?
Well, the storm system did, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We saw that develop on April 25th and 26th, and then as went into the 27th and 28th, that's when it really started getting its act together and kind of caused a whole lot of havoc. So it did start here, and you know, it's one of those things, it's kind of a matter of time before it makes its way back into Texas once again.
Yeah, because we know those conditions are ripe as they were in Joplin, Missouri. They can be just as ripe here in our backyard in Texas.
Absolutely. It's happened here before. We've had F5s in Saragossa. We also had an F5 back in the 50s in Waco. Of course, the Fort Worth tornado of 2000, and many, many examples of big-time tornadoes in Texas. And it's not a matter of if they're going to happen again. It's a matter of when they're going to happen again.
Another that comes to mind that our listeners are probably familiar with, I believe we're approaching the 30th anniversary of the Paris tornado, which resulted in several fatalities.
Absolutely. 1982, that's one where the folks in Paris still think about that like it was yesterday. Very similar to what they think over in Wichita Falls about the tornado back in 1979. So these things have happened again, and unfortunately, they're going to happen some more in the future. And you know, it's going to be our job to make sure that we're ready for them long before it ever shows up on radar.
and we will discuss that safety factor a little bit later on. First, from a meteorology standpoint, let's break down some of the reasons we saw some of the activity we did last year and how things are shaping up so far this year.
Well, we're playing out a little bit right now to be just a little bit more than what we normally see. We've already had a couple of outbreaks, and we're probably going to have another couple more within the next week or two, mainly in the southeast, which is kind of typical for this time of year. Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama seem to get at least one January, February, early March type outbreak. And, you know, unfortunately, it's just kind of starting up once again.
Severe Weather Awareness Week is not just tornadoes, flooding. It's winter weather, which we haven't seen a lot of so far this year. Can you speak to that a little?
Yeah, we definitely haven't seen very much in the way of winter, which is, I don't know if it's good or bad, depends on how your point of view, but, you know, at least we've had some rain to kind of help the drought just a little bit, but, you know, this is Severe Weather Awareness Week, and even though North Texas saw 44 tornadoes last year, and our average is 21, so not only did we double our number of tornadoes, but you got to remember, we've also had 740-some events of large hail, 350-some events of high winds, and those high winds are greater than 60 miles per hour. So while the tornadoes have the good press agent, large hail and damaging winds are much more common in this part of the world than the tornadoes are, but they're all equally a big threat.
Do you have figures on the amount of damage in terms of the dollar amount?
Not necessarily, and it kind of—I've seen a lot of numbers out there, and it kind of depends on how well you or how you kind of slice up Texas versus North Texas versus East Texas. Mm-hmm. But the monetary damage was pretty high. We're talking in the billions of dollars just from the severe weather in Texas.
At what point? And again, most of us thinking about tornado season, hail season, flooding season. When can we stop thinking about the chance of a winter weather mix affecting us?
Well, the good news there is, you know, once we get into March and April, the chances for a long-term event really go downhill. So we've probably passed the crest as far as, you know, the big bad storm for North Texas as far as long-term ice or anything like that. We have had snowstorms before and some ice in the months of March and even in April. But this time of year, as the ground gets warmer and warmer from, you know, days like the last few, which have been very warm, the odds are any kind of snow or ice wouldn't stick around. So I think we're over the hill for that one this summer, winter rather.
Mark Fox is the Warning Coordination Meteorologist with the National Weather Service Office in Fort Worth. Covers a large portion of north and north central Texas. And Mark, we know we can't prevent these storms from occurring, but we can certainly prepare for them. What's the biggest piece of advice you like to give residents and their families when it comes to being ready for storms that may strike?
Well, the best thing to do is to think about the bad weather when the weather is good. Think about where you would get your family. And one of the best places to be, of course, if you don't have underground, that is the kicker. But if you can get underground into a storm shelter, into a basement, you know, that's going to be your best option. Of course, in this part of the world, we don't have a whole lot of those readily built in. So a small room on the lowest floor possible. Bathrooms, as long as they don't have any walls to the outside or any windows, are good. Interior closets, just put as many walls between you and the outside as absolutely possible. And when the watches are issued, you know, that means, you know, we're watching out for bad weather. That's the time to kind of make sure that you've got either a weather radio or a radio that you can bring into that room, maybe some spare blankets, something like that, just to make sure that if you are in there for a while, you can still get some information back to you.
Okay. Of course, you've been on the road a lot lately. It's the annual Skywarn Storm Spotter training class where you tour the counties that you serve and inform our aspiring weather spotters about what to look for. You were in Greenville Thursday night conducting the free seminar. What are some other future destinations here locally?
Oh, let's see. We will be in Rains County on the 29th, and we'll be in Delta County, I want to say it's the week of March 10th or 11th, something like that. But if you go to our webpage, weather.gov/Dallas, the training schedule is right there on top. But we'll be in Emory on the 29th, And we'll be in Delta County in early March, and those are going to be some areas that are going to be fairly close by.
Yeah, Skywarn has been in the works for several years. It's a national program consisting of thousands upon thousands of volunteers, including thousands locally here. They'll get the information based on observing the weather. They'll get the information they need to report it to the National Weather Service, who in turn gives it to the radio station, the TV stations, and we can tell the public. Could you explain more about what you're instructing these weather spotters to look for and kind of understand as they're looking for storms?
Well, they learn a lot about cloud structure, storm structure, what makes a storm turn into one of the big violent storms that we really have to worry about. And another thing that we kind of focus in on are those cloud features that look scary, but they really don't mean a whole lot.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, in springtime, those things show up a lot. So we try to tell the difference between the storms you really need to respect and report so we can get other people into safety, and those storms that are going to look scary but not going to do too much.
And this is a good opportunity for people to kind of re-engage themselves when it comes to weather spotting if they've done it before, but it's also a chance for you to do some recruiting and get some new members in. What's the response been like so far?
Well, we are way ahead of schedule from what we had last year. We cover 46 counties in northern and central Texas from at least the National Weather Service in Fort Worth. And last year, we trained about 4,000 spotters throughout the year. This year alone, we're already approaching about 2,500, and we're barely at halfway. So we're getting a lot more interest this year, but of course, usually when you have a year like last year, it's going to bring in a lot of interest about what type of storms, you know, we really need to keep our eye on.
Well, bad news in terms of the weather last year, but good news in terms of the amount of people that want to volunteer.
Yeah, absolutely. The folks that show up at these are typically ones that, you know, are interested in weather, or they just want to learn a little bit more. And another common theme is they like to help. So we love to see full crowds out there at the Skywarn sessions. And, of course, anyone is available to come out. Anybody's welcome. Absolutely free of charge. We'll even give you some handouts to take home and kind of follow along with the weather that way.
Okay. And then once they're signed up and kind of engaged in the program, what's the protocol when it comes to a severe weather event?
Well, the protocol is sometimes determined by a local jurisdiction. Local county, local city might have their own way of doing things for their official club. And, of course, we encourage people to follow along there. But we also have numerous ways to get in touch with us through our website. We've got some forms that will come right to a warning forecaster, and they'll show up right next to their radar. We also have a series of phone numbers that we ask people to call in on, and we can get that word in any which way. We also have Facebook. We watch Twitter. We watch all the social media, and, of course, we get a lot of information from our radio stations, our TV stations, and anybody out there that is charged with public safety.
Mark, any final thoughts as we conclude Severe Weather Awareness Week this weekend?
Well, you know, it's Severe Weather Awareness Week here in late February, and, you know, it's an absolutely beautiful week, but this is the time to think about things, because before you know it, we're going to have those watches and warnings, and you're going to have to know what to do at least a couple of times this year. On average, every county in your listening area is under a tornado warning about 3 or 4 times a year. And so we're talking less than 2 hours a year. We're asking you to do the right thing and go to cover. And that's not a whole lot of investment, but you do have to know what to do. That way you can put the chances the best for you to survive the storm season of 2012.
All right, well, we know you'll be busy. We'll be busy when those storms do come, informing our audience, and we thank all the weather spotters and yourself for getting us the information we can so we can inform the public. And enjoyed talking to you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Mark Fox is the Warning Coordination Meteorologist with the National Weather Service Office in Fort Worth, which serves our listening region. We'll take a break and come back with our Friday feature. You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Why? It's about more than sports and working out.
It's about making my community better.
Living a healthier life.
Spending time together as a family.
It's where I go to learn and play after school.
The Y strengthens communities.
By helping kids reach their full potential.
Encouraging healthy living.
and inspiring social responsibility.
Get involved. Find a Y near you. Visit YMCA.net.
It doesn't take long to notice that KETR is quite different from the others along the radio dial. Smart programming, diverse voices, intriguing opinions, and no commercials. Those are just a few of the reasons you've made 88.9 your choice for listening. We need to remind you that listener support is vital to our existence. We're asking you to dig deep and help us cover the costs of running a great public radio station. Make a pledge right now at ketr.org/support. And thanks.
Hi, I'm Rick Howard.
And I'm Stan the Man Kratchman,
your host for Big Band Stage Door Canteen.
Inviting you to join us each week for the finest big band music with notable artists such as Nat King Cole, Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, Michael Bublé, Helen Forrest, and much, much more.
So join us for Big Band Stage Door Canteen each Monday night at 11 on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Welcome back to The Lead. It's now time for our Friday feature. In mid-February 2010, North Texas was inundated with a record-breaking snow. And given our winter weather season so far, it seems those records will never be broken. But for you wishful thinkers out there, here's a trip down memory lane, courtesy of Kevin Jeffries.
Well, unless you were hibernating yesterday, you witnessed record-setting snowfall in North and Northeast Texas. 6 inches of snow and up, the most in over 30 years, floated down on the region, turning February into a winter wonderland. That's the call that went out early Thursday morning as people awoke to fistfuls of snow falling from the sky. Phone calls to friends and relatives, text messages, and posting of pictures across Facebook and other social networking sites. After all, the forecast was right.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Business proceeded as normal for the early part of the day, but eventually the threat of bad conditions loomed. Schools and businesses began closing and calling delayed openings for the next day. While temperatures hovered around the freezing mark, the heavy snow had an impact. Some people lost power. Numerous flights were delayed. Officials even momentarily considered canceling the NBA All-Star Game at Cowboys Stadium this weekend. But in the end, many smiles graced faces of those who hadn't seen snow like this in a very long time, if ever. And especially without the dreaded Texas ice, baby. With mostly clear roads and temperatures not in the teens, a childlike sense of joy at an honest-to-goodness plain old snow day began to rise. And eventually, someone had a bright idea.
Snowball throwing, that's what I'll do.
The call went out amongst students at A&M Commerce for a grand snowball fight. Mobile phones buzzed with text messages, and Facebook walls filled with the call as word of mouth spread for the epic fight. And soon, the game was afoot in front of the Literature and Languages building on the frosted campus of the university.
I got a couple of vicious hits in the face, one on the butt. I don't know, they're just coming from all over.
I'm going to poke somebody with a 150-pound pillow.
Look out, look out!
These gloves, the isotoners. Makes it way easy to pack a good snowball.
Snowball!
Eventually, sides were drawn.
Developing into a turf war. We had the joggers running up and ambushing us, and then the sororities, fraternities.
The fraternities versus the sororities, it's hilarious, actually. I'm not in one, so I'm just caught in the crossfire.
But there was some downtime from the epic battle, and what snow day would be complete without a snowman using a classic technique?
The snowball effect. Make a small ball, and then just roll it and add to it. Next thing you know,
you've got a freaking mountain.
And the students did have time to recognize how rare the record-setting snowfall was.
Wasn't it warm like 3 days ago, and now it's snowing?
I would like to thank global warming.
I've never seen snow like this. I'm from Mexico.
So it wasn't so bad after all. Quite the contrary, these students would say. The bright snow to shed some beauty on a dreary day, even if some of it was expected to become that dreaded Texas ice by the next day. For now, however,
let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Thank you very much, Kevin Jeffries. If you're joining us late, that, in fact, was a broadcast from 2 years ago, February of 2010, when we had a record snowfall here in northeast Texas, and students here on campus certainly took advantage of that. Our Friday feature airs each Friday during the lead at 10 a.m. and again at 4:45 p.m. during All Things Considered here on your station. And if you have a story idea that would be best suited as our Friday feature, please let us know. You can send your ideas to me, scott@ketr.org. That's scott@ketr.org. And when we come back, we'll wrap things up here on the program. This is your station, 88.9 KETR.
Public radio listeners are heavy users of bank services, home mortgages, and financial management planning. Are these listeners your customers? They can be. Become a KETR program underwriter. For more information, call 903-513-9684.
These days, people go to great lengths to shed the stress of daily life. There's acupuncture, deep tissue massage, meditation, yoga. Well, at All Things Considered, we offer our own type of healing, invigorating news stories that span the spectrum of human experience. I'm Robert Siegel. Nourish your mind weekdays on All Things Considered from NPR News, Asylum from the Ordinary.
This afternoon, beginning at 3 on 88.9 KETR.
Hey, what's that coming around the bends? That's the sound of Notably Texan, bringing you a brand new, eclectic, hand-picked playlist each night, filled with the music of Texas in all its forms. It's not just one or two styles of music. Notably Texan is as diverse as our great state itself. Join me, Matt Minky, for Notably Texan, tonight at 6, on your station, 88.9 KETR.
And welcome back to The Lead. It's now time to run down the events calendar for Northeast Texas. I want to focus on one in particular for today, and that's coming up on Tuesday. That's going to be a special broadcast here on your station from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's dubbed The Lions Take New York. The Texas A&M University Commerce Chorale and Wind Ensemble is set to perform on stage at world-renowned Carnegie Hall in New York City. That takes place Tuesday evening. Our broadcast will take place prior to the performance from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. KETR's Jared Knight will be on hand to speak with some of the students and some university officials about their upcoming experience, and that's going to be an exciting event that we are proud to provide for you live again prior to the event, and then the students will go ahead and have their performance that evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time at Carnegie Hall. So our live coverage is from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Lions Take New York. You can learn more information on this event and others at our website, ketr.org. And of course, we're always encouraging you to post your own event to our website. It'll go through an approval process and then be read on these airwaves. That's going to do it for today's installment of The Lead. I want to thank my guest, Mark Fox, a warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service Office in Fort Worth. Always appreciate talking to him. Had some tips on how to stay safe this severe weather season. It is Severe Weather Awareness Week. And just how devastating last year's storms were, of course. If you're interested in the Skywarn Storm Spotter training program through the Weather Service, you can visit weather.gov/Dallas, and they have a list of upcoming Skywarn sessions. There's going to be an event in Rains County next week and Delta County in mid-March. And we hope you enjoyed our Friday feature, a trip down memory lane on the region's record snowfall in February of 2010, produced by Kevin Jeffries. And we'll be back same time next Friday at 10 a.m. Our show also re-airs at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. And you can hear archives of this show. We'll have it up on our website momentarily, ketr.org. Coming up next is Texas Matters. This has been The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm your host, Scott Harvey. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend.